Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear, and I am Moxon, joined by the King of the Casters. He's Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, we have an uber-talented guest joining us today.
That's uber-talented. Right. Uber, yes. Maybe you can drive my car, but no. Anyways, we have one of our favorite singers. I know we've been listening to him for a very long time. He's got Jizzy Pearl's Love Hate coming out again. New single, Wanna Be Somebody. Jizzy, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you guys?
Well, we're great. Excited to be talking to you again and excited to have a new Love Hate album. So let's talk about some Jizzy Pearl's Love Hate.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so first single, Wanna Be Somebody, or a second single, I guess, Soul Mama being the first single. So then when is the new album coming out? And
February of next year, that's the projected date. And I guess there'll be one more single released in a month or something like that. I mean, they have you know, a machine that kind of spits out singles every few months. And I guess it'll be February for the whole thing.
How many songs are on the album? Like how many, like, and then, and then how much input do you have on the singles?
A lot. I mean, we discussed it and I sort of picked the ones I liked and they just kind of went with my infinite wisdom on that stuff. You know, the songs that I thought were pretty straight up rock, you know what I mean? I didn't want to get too eclectic. So I just, Soul Mama is basically an AC/DC song. You know, Wanna Be Somebody is sort of, it sounds funny, but it's just, I always dug Faster Pussycat's first record. And so I was trying to recreate that Sunset Strip-ish vibe with that song. And it's a good song.
For sure. I mean, I also love Faster Pussycat's first album. It's great stuff. Now, when we talk about Love Hate, and especially versus your solo stuff, what makes a song a Love Hate song versus a solo?
Well, A Rose by Any Other Name, as they say, Jizzy Pearl's Love Hate, you know, because I'm as love hate as you're going to get in 2021. So that's why it's a love hate record, because I wrote it.
Awesome. Do you have fights with yourself over whether you're going to release it as a love hate album?
I threaten to sue myself sometimes. Yeah, over you know, songwriting, publishing and stuff. But I always end up settling with myself. And, you know, the lawyer bills are a little pricey. But, yeah.
What is your songwriting process? Do you like have come up with a lyric first or come up with a title first? Or kind of how do
music,
you go about it?
Music first. A vibe. You know, a structure, and you know, getting the chorus obviously is the most important part of any song. A lot of bands write really cool riffs, but when it comes time for the chorus, I always feel like there isn't that payoff. You know, a chorus is something that's memorable. A chorus is something that sticks in your head. Hell's bells, you know what I mean? Something like that. So once you get the chorus and you have your structure, then the verses come next. The lyrics come next.
Are you kind of a perfectionist when it comes to writing the lyrics? Or is that more by feel?
Both. The lyrics have to mean something. I mean, I don't really write songs about banging chicks all night. And you know what I mean? Because I've done that and I lived that. And so now I'm a guy that's married. So I write songs about people or things. It's a story. And again, the most important thing is, you know, your chorus. Your chorus has to say something. It has to jump out of the song.
So what's that like with that moment when you get a chorus and you go, oh God, I got something good here. Like, you know it. What's that moment like?
Like like getting a happy ending at a massage parlor. Kind of. I mean, you know, if you get a good chorus, then you know that it's worth all the work, because then you have to, it's kind of like once you bake the cake and then you have to decorate it. And then you have, it's the little things. So, it's a great feeling.
I think Wannabe Somebody is great, but Soul Mama for me, that's really great. I like that you described that as an AC/DC type song. Is that, do you kind of go in there and always trying to play, I don't know, tribute to the legends that have come before you?
Not really. I just kind of, because my voice is in that range, Soul Mama is going to sound like an AC/DC song. It's going to sound like Back in Black. My guitar playing is rudimentary at best. So obviously I play the songs a certain way, and I have other people come in and make it sound better, you know, make it sound more polished, obviously. But so stuff comes out, and if it seems to fit the rest of the songs, then it's, you know, it goes in the pile.
How many songs were written for the album?
15, 16, 17, something like that. Others didn't make the cut because they didn't make the cut.
Some people find that a really hard process and some people don't. Is it difficult for you? I mean, they're all your babies, right? So is it difficult to make that cut, or is it?
Some of my babies have autism and they're not showable. I mean, there's certain guys out there, and I won't say who, that every time they write anything, it's the best thing they've ever written. And they sell you on that. This probably is the best song I've ever written. I think it's my Sergeant Pepper. You know, you have to have some sort of subjective critiques of your own work. You have to know what jumps out is really good and what sort of is filler. You know what I mean? Otherwise, your record's just going to sound like shit.
Yeah, is that easier as you kind of go along than it was when you were younger? Or were you always this way?
Of course. I mean, you know, you get better at anything when you've written hundreds of bad songs. You know what I mean? You know what a good song sounds like.
So then, I mean, the Sunset Strip is so entrenched in your makeup. Do you try to write still as the Sunset Strip, or does it come out?
I don't know if somebody asked me, you know, do you consciously try and write like the old Love Hate? And I don't consciously try and do that. But then again, I don't consciously try and write like Disturbed or Korn or something like that, because it's just not me. I come from the Led Zeppelin, the Who, you know, the Black Sabbath musical background. And that's what I like. And so kind of that's an Aerosmith, you know what I mean? And kind of that's where I write from. That's what I like, you know what I mean? So it would be silly for me to try and be something I'm not.
Of course, as an author, you know, and I want to talk about the fourth book coming up, but how does that impact your songwriting?
It doesn't. They're two different forms of expressing yourself. Songwriting is formulaic. I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that unless you're Rush, you know, songs are basically 3 minutes and change, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, solo, chorus out. I mean, that's sort of how it's done. That's how I do it, unless I go crazy, maybe write it. I have a 7-minute song on my new record, which is a little kooky. But book writing, and if people are interested, they can get my books at jizzypearl.net. I've got a couple for sale. One is sold out, and I am currently writing a fourth one. You can do anything you want in a story or a book. You can saying, you tell the characters what to do and they do it. You tell that guy to pick up a knife and he will pick up that knife and start stabbing, you know? So that's the cool part. There is no boundary. It just has to be a good story, have a beginning, middle, and end. And it has to be, you know, for me, I grew up with The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits and currently Black Mirror, if you guys have seen it. You know, that shit is great to me. That's what my writing is like. It's sort of half fiction in a dark or a funny sense, you know, and half Sunset Strip reminiscences from the guy that was, you know, there in the gutter in front of the whiskey, you know what I mean? Getting his head beat in because he looked like a girl.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm a big fan of your previous three books, and so it's nice to know that they have been re-released. You say that you've got 250 pages done so far on your way to 300. Now,
you did your homework.
You betcha. Now, how long did it take you to kind of reach that 250? Have you been working on that for a while?
Not very long. I tend to divide my time. I'm not good at it. Like, remember in the old days when there would be a performer juggling a bunch of plates at one time and he had seven plates going, you're thinking, how can this guy do this? I can't work like that. If I'm working on record and songwriting, I shut myself away and write songs. You know, if I'm on tour, I'm in gig mode. I run every day. I rehearse. I sing in here in my house, and because it's a physical athletic endeavor. You know what I mean? It's for me. You know what I mean? You want to be able to bust ass, and to bust ass, you have to be in shape. So that's what I do. As far as book writing, I can crank out, if I have, you know, the muse in me, I can crank out, you know, pages every week. And so I would say I've been writing for 6 weeks, 2 months. And so, yeah, and I want to get to 300. So that'll be a big, thick, you know, book. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to putting it out, because re-releasing the other three books sort of inspired me to put pen to paper again, you know what I mean? And plus being, you know, in prison in my house for the last year and a half.
Yes. Now, tell me too, is there, like, what about the editing process on your book? Do you send that to somebody else, send it out to somebody to get their feedback? Or just
I do it all myself. When I first released these books a couple years ago, I just did it all on Word. Nobody, when I suggested that I write a book, of course, everyone thought I was, you know, crazy, you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, fuck them. I just did it myself. I got Word document. I learned how to format Word document. And I'm a pretty good English, you know, I have a background in English, so I know how to do it. I mean, I still miss stuff. You know what I mean? Even now I look at my books and I go, I should have put that apostrophe over there. You know what I mean? Because you can't be, you know, Zeus as far as, you know, doing it all. But I just do it all as much as I can. I commission the art for the covers. I do the whole thing myself. And then I just send it to a printer. And boy, has it gotten more expensive these days. I mean, back when I was putting out books, I mean, it was way cheaper, but I guess everything is, you know, gone up in price.
That's for sure. Yeah. I mean, I even remember the old days with the kingjizzo.com and all the stories that you would put on there. So that was sort of
my rudimentary beginning. You know what I mean? Learning how to take a story from a page and a half to 5 to 10 to 20, you know what I mean? And trying to have a good stream of thought that, you know, guys like Stephen King just, fuck, that guy's Mozart.
How much do the characters speak to you? How much do they tell you what their story is?
Well, sometimes songs or stories are based on people I know, you know, that do fucked up stuff, or they're completely like one of my stories in one of my books is, what if a serial killer went for a job interview? You know what I mean? It's kind of a funny idea, but how do you turn it into something? You know what I mean? And that's sometimes they start with ideas like that. Like, what if Armageddon created its own Facebook event? You know what I mean? Like stupid shit, but you got to make it into something. You know, you got to, like a comedian takes a joke and makes it into something. It isn't just a joke. It's he's got to flesh it out. So that's what stories are like.
When do you come up with these ideas? Like, do you just kind of like one will just pop into your head and then you just make a note of it on your phone?
I'm a weird dude. I mean, I have a very twisted sense of, you know, imagination and maybe what I think is funny, other people might, especially in this woke age, might not think is quite so funny. The stories I wrote about in my earlier books were based on stuff that I saw or stuff that I did, the backstage, the wine, the women, the song. And a lot of it is pretty rough. You know, I've had girls read my book and throw it at me, you know, because they don't want to remember, you know what I mean? Oh, I was so drunk, I don't remember what happened. Well, I do, and I wrote it down. You know, this is what you did. So what I'm saying is the Sunset Strip, like the Netflix movie for The Dirt, I thought was good, but they made it Netflixian. You know what I mean? They sort of sanitized it. It was a lot more debaucherous than that. It was like ancient Rome. You know, Ricky Rackman will tell you, you know, he was in the middle of it as well, you know? So yeah, it was definitely, you know, Caligula 24-hour day.
Would that have been a concern for you then if you had gotten your book made into a series on the IFC, that they would have sanitized it a little bit too much?
I just think, I don't know, you know, it's funny because when that thing, I had a movie deal and it fell through, at the time I was kind of bummed about it, but you know, there's a story that every time a production company in Hollywood opens up, you know, that has money and is willing to make movies, a big U-Haul truck pulls up to the back and it leans up and about 10,000 scripts come pouring out of poor starving writers writing screenplays that never get made into movies. So my little IFC thing is just one of 10,000 tales of guys that movies that never got made, you know, and it's okay because I've continued to do music and write and be a musician and, you know, make a living since then. So, yeah, it's all good.
Well, and of course you're singing with Quiet Riot, and I know you've been with them for quite a while on and off. Now you're doing some live shows. What's it like to be able to get out there and perform live again?
Well, it's good. I mean, I don't think anyone really could comprehend what we've all gone through. And I say musicians, but everyone attached to music, you know, roadies, crew guys, everyone associated with music took a bath. Managers, agents went out of business. Agents sold their houses and went bankrupt, you know, because everyone just took a major bath when, you know, you're used to going to the tree to pick an apple and there's no more tree. So I think everyone maybe has a, or should have a greater appreciation for live music, including fans. You know what I mean? I think they do. I've been to gigs and people really are extremely pleased that we're doing it, and they get to participate in the live music experience, because virtual TV concerts aren't the same. They're just not.
No, for sure.
Now, I know you get one of those stories about how, you change somebody's life or you influence them, or when you get something like that, I mean, what does that feel like? How does that feel, make you feel?
It feels like getting a happy ending at a massage parlor. You know what it feels like? Everything is relative. Like, I was a huge Queen fan when I was a kid, and I used to go see Queen, and my parents didn't dig them, just probably because of the name. You know what I mean? My stepdad would go, are you going to go see the Queens tonight? It's not the Queens. They're called Queen. You know, my friends, I had to defend Queen against my friends who thought they were all gay. And I go, those aren't dresses. Those are kimonos. You know, anyway, the point I'm making is that they made a huge impression on me when I was a kid. So when I met Brian May, you can imagine how I felt. I was like a gibbering idiot. You know, try to hold it together. You know, you don't know what your music means to me. I mean, all this stuff wanted to pour out of me to him, but he's heard it all before. You know what I mean? So the point I'm making is everything's relative. When people come up to me and tell me that the Blackout record was an integral part of their life or their teenage years, it's killer. I appreciate it. And I know what the feeling is like, because I grew up with Aerosmith Rocks and Physical Graffiti. And if I could go up to Jimmy Page, I would tell him what, you know what I mean? Well, I would be an idiot and lose it. But, you know, it's all relative, man. And it's all good. And it's great.
Now then, of course, as you kind of carry on, do you expect to be doing shows with Love Hate?
I hope to do some shows. I hope to do a UK tour that's been postponed 2 or 3 times. But I'm going to try and make it happen. You know what I mean? I mean, QR, because, as you know, we got Rudy Sarzo back.
Yeah, for sure, which is awesome.
And, we just played with him the other day. And, it was great. It was great. So, yeah, we're planning on working a lot with him in the next year. He's really given us a shot in the arm, and he's a great dude. He's totally the nicest guy in the world, and easy to work with, and it's awesome. So as far as Love Hate goes, we'll see what happens. I mean, if England opens up a little bit more and isn't quite so restrictive, Australia's out, obviously. I had two mm-hmm. tours in Australia, and I had to, that's never going to happen. So, we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah. I know we're running out of time, but what's it like in QR without Frankie?
It was weird at first, obviously, he wasn't, he was the big part of the band, and he was the manager, and he was the tour manager, and he was the boss. And so it was a little, disconcerting at first, but now everyone kind of knows their role in the band, and we all work together, and we sort of kept it together. And now that Rudy's coming back, Rudy's going to be, the sort of lightning rod that we can all sort of bounce off of. And it'll be great.
You talk about Queen too, and just, I think when we all listen to music, I kind of know often we go back to those classics. Do you listen to the classics the most, or do you have new bands that you kind of go to?
I don't listen to any new bands. It's nothing personal, but I just don't care. I mean, if I want to get rocked, I will put on Led Zeppelin or The Who or, something like that. If I want to get rocked, I'll put Aerosmith Rocks on. I don't, it's, I just don't have anything in common with guys in their 20s. You know what I mean? I like what I like, and it that makes me happy.
And then, of course, the Major League Son of a Bitch video, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. He got to be animated in that.
Yeah, that's killer. He actually drew my book cover. That guy, his name is Ash.
He, awesome.
Yeah, I reached out to him and I said, let's try some art. You know what I mean? And he finished my book cover. So yeah, he that was a great video. I've never, my first time being a character in an animated thing. It was pretty funny.
Now that would be the way to do your books on TV is like that kind of animation. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure.
Not bad.
Well, Chizzy, I know that we're just about at our time here, so we want to give you the chance to tell everybody where they can keep up with you, where they can get all your albums, because like you say online, if you don't pay the artist, they don't eat.
Yeah, well, my books are available at jizzypearl.net. And like I said, there's three of it. Well, two. One is sold out. There's two available, soon to be a fourth one available. As far as records go and stuff like that, I mean, that's up to the purchaser. You know what I mean? I have a Frontiers record. You can get a Frontiers. And if you want to buy the old Love Hate records, you know, there's always Amazon or eBay or, you know, some other shyster. And that's it.
Awesome. Well, hopefully, I'm hoping to find someone on vinyl to replace my other stuff because that's my favorite.
You can find them. I mean, you just have to look.
Yeah, exactly.
They sound better on vinyl, don't they? We were just listening to Rocks last weekend, actually on vinyl, and it was unbelievable. It's just it's such a feeling.
The music. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm not quite the artiste, you know, listener that you guys are. I just listen on my iPad, and you know, that's good enough for me.
Well, I listen regularly still to Love Hate. I mean, every time I listen to you, I don't know how many times over the years, I walk away and I say, just so damn good. Like every single time, no matter how it surprises me every time how damn good it always is. It's just like that. So was this interview. So thank you very much for talking to us. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, dude. Sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks, Jizzy.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
You too.
All right.
Bye. Bye now.
Just a cold-hearted, foe creature.